A couple weeks ago, we talked about deism. And if that's hard for you to buy, that story, like that's deism, that yes, there's a God, but he doesn't come and do crazy stuff in our everyday lives. He does. And if you have doubts in this room, you're welcome here. We're so glad you're here. God does some of his best work in your doubts, specifically when we get to finances. So when you hear us, if you're new with us, which so many of you are, when you hear us talk about a campaign, that's nothing to do with election stuff. That is a capital campaign, fundraising campaign that we're in the middle of. Next week's a very, very big week for us as we have our commitment Sunday, and we're inviting you into that. We'll get to that in a second, make sure everybody's on the same page. But just want to thank Rhea for her words earlier on this Sunday before the election. There's so many things we can say today that we can't say next week, because depending on how you lean, you'll hear it different. If you're person won or lost, you know, you'll think whatever. So we're just saying everything on the front end because we don't know what's about to happen. I don't know what's about to happen. But what we do know is it's a big week for the multi-ethnic church of Jesus, right? So I listen to a lot of the Godfathers in the multi-ethnic church movement, people that have been doing this longer than I have. And they said there's a tendency, and times get tense, there's a tendency for us to lean away from the tension that's in our culture. He said the multi-ethnic church leans in. We embrace the tension that is in because we actually have the answer of what can unite a people. So next week is a big week for us. Just whatever happens, no matter what happens, for us to come in this room and worship together. And we think it's the most beautiful thing in the world that you're going to be worshiping on the same row of somebody who voted different than you. It doesn't scare us. That excites us, because that's not what unites it. If it does unite us, then we're done for. We already call, you know, we're done. Right, we're united by Jesus, and Jesus is still going to be king no matter what happens on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. So next week is a big Sunday for our church because it's our commitment Sunday. What does that mean? There was cards on your seats, commitment cards, and next week is the day we've been asking you to turn those in, to pray towards that. If this is all new to you, because we have so many new people in our church, let me explain what this is. It's a campaign for a building. We don't own this building. We rent. Our lease is up in 2.5 years, a little less. So we've got to do something. God's called us to do this campaign, and we're super excited about it. So if you're new to us, we would just ask you to do what we're asking everybody to do. Pray if God would want you to join this. Maybe you just met our church. I thought we're going to have somebody here for the first time next Sunday on Commitment Sunday. It happens every week. We're so blessed with that. Somebody's going to be here for the very first time. They're going to walk into Commitment Sunday, and we're going to invite them to join. We're not going to pressure them. We're not pressuring you. But if you are new to us, then I would say listen carefully of what we're saying and how we talk about money. I think you can learn about a year's worth of what a church is about by listening to a couple weeks of how they talk about money, because it can go sideways real quick. So these messages and these series of Immeasurably More tells you a lot about who Relentless Church is, and we like to declare who we are. I like to declare who we are. Some of you like it. Some of you are sick of it. I don't care, right? We need more than ever right now. The multi-ethnic church isn't going anywhere based on what's happening on Tuesday. We need to say out loud who we are. Who are we? We are a gospel, forever, multi-ethnic. Thank you. 11 o'clock. It's a little better with an extra hour of sleep. So we're looking towards next week. So if you don't want to turn in a card, fine. Like, all we're asking is listen to God and do what he says. So I'm going to show you a picture of the card on the screen, and we'll walk through some scenarios, right? So we couldn't fit everything we wanted to on this card, or it'd be a book, right? This is a commitment card, so I'm going to walk you through it. So I think we got some dude that I never heard of, Jack, J. Shep. He loves TS. I don't know what TS is, but he loves some TS. And and we don't have all the columns. So something like, what if we don't have a weekly column? We only have monthly, yearly. What if I want to give every week? Well, we got this thing on your phone, if you have a phone, called a calculator. And it's 156 weeks in this campaign. So let's say, and young people, we want you to be a part of this. You can be in on with it, your parents. We have material that your parents have about how to do a family conference. You can do your own card. Like, say, I want to do $1 a week. Right, this is what that would look like. You put $1 in that first box, you check the weekly box, you get out your calculator. What is $1 times 156 weeks? Anybody math whiz? It's 156 bucks. That bottom number is the one that matters. Let's say you're like, I want to give monthly. I want to give 250 bucks a month. That's what you've heard God put on your heart. So you find that number on the chart over here. What's that? Okay, that's 9 grand over 3 years. So you put the bottom number is really what matters. Let's say, forget all this monthly, weekly stuff. I'm loaded. I want to give 100K. I don't know when I'm going to give it. I don't know how. I just want to forget the top box. That's irrelevant. Just put it in the bottom number. You can give it how, when, Bitcoin, whatever form you want to give it in. That's the deal. Now, most of our church, we exist as a church on the generosity of our people, and almost all of our financing comes through online giving. So we have a whole online thing set up. In fact, if you, that same QR code that's on the back of the chair, it'll take you to a great commitment card that is tailor-made for Immeasurably More. It'll track your pledge. It's awesome. But next week, if you're going to give online, you're going to do your commitment online, which like most of you like to do online stuff, that's great. On your card, you're just going to write online. Don't put an amount, because then we're going to go find your name, Jack Shepherd. He said he's giving online. We're going to go to the computer, and we're going to find your amount on there, right? So if you put online on the card, make sure you did a commitment, right? But you can just write online on the card, and we'll know to go online. We meaning our people, not me. I'm not going to know what you give. We'll talk about that in a second. But I need you to understand this is just enormous season for our church and our future. It's an exciting time. It's not a scary time. So here's how this is going to look the next few weeks. Next week, we're going to have a moment of worship. This is so not us. We're not going to have a moment where everybody comes up with their cards and puts it up here, and I get like, what was it? How many zeros? You know, it's going to be an act of worship during a song. There are going to be baskets. There are going to be some containers. I haven't seen them yet, but they're going to be awesome. And you're going to put, as an act of worship, and you can slam dunk it, throw it in there however you want to. It's an act of worship. I believe in what God's doing here, and I want to be a part of it. It does not matter what your number is. If you turn in a card, you're a part of this beautiful thing that we're inviting you into. That's next week, and then it'll take an entire week for our accounting team to add up all the numbers and zeros. It'll just be a long process, and then we'll announce on November 17th what our total commitment was as a church, which will be our budget for whatever building, land, or he's about to do. We don't know. So banks, I've talked to banks, and their first question is, "What? Tell me about your capital campaign." Before they'll loan you anything, they want to know about your capital campaign, right? So they look at two things. They look at the total number. If you're a dollar, if you're one of our young people or not so young people, right? He's like, I don't got nothing right now. A dollar, I don't have $156. That's a faith move. Like, so that's you. If you put a dollar on the card, you're a part of the total number. It doesn't matter how much you gave of the total number. You're a part of the family of Relentless Church. So the bank will look at our total commitment, number one. Second, they look at number of commitments. Why? Because banks are all about risk. So if they find a campaign where 20% of the church makes a commitment, that scares them. They want to see a higher percentage of the total church, because that tells them there's more people involved and bought into this. So they're trying to decrease their risk. So it's not nothing. If there's a dollar on your card, that's not nothing, not to the bank and not to Jesus, most importantly. Let's talk about him a little bit, because I can talk about money all day because it gets awkward, and I don't know why. I just love awkward. So I thought this series would be a painful one. It's been one of my favorite series that we've done. It's called Immeasurably More, based on the scripture, God who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. When you see stories like that, and you know, some churches pay for those testimonies. They buy them online. They put people on their screen that live in some other state telling awesome God. You know, we don't have to do that. You know, they're on the front row. So if you don't believe that God gives raises, and the key point of that story, if I got it right, Raph and Betsy John, is they had their number they wanted to commit the night before the raise came, right? All of us would be full of faith if, you know, give me the raise, and like, yeah, God, you want to give me a raise? Hey, it's God loves the going out on faith before there's anything to put your foot on. That's what they did. And God, and it's not just them. There's a lot of stories in our church just in the last 3 weeks. We just don't want you to miss out on how clear God shows up when you get into finances. That's why there's so much in Scripture about finances. Let's look at this beautiful story of John. And I'm going to go back to my table. I don't memorize the Bible, right? So let's look at these verses. Actually, I'll just read them to you in John. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd, he was becoming a rock star. His ministry was growing. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Isn't that messed up? Jesus already knows what he's going to do, and he asked Philip as a test. Look at this, thousands of people coming at us. How are we going to feed all these people? I feel bad for Philip. Like, I don't know. You know, here's Philip's answer. He said,
It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Philip's like, let me break this down for you, Jesus. It would take half a year's salary not to feed these people, but so everybody had one bite. That's a mad crowd. You imagine having a church. People are still talking about our birthday Sunday meal and how awesome that was. Imagine having a buffet church fellowship meal. Everybody goes through. You get one bite of bread. God bless you, right? Y'all never come back, right? Philip's saying, we could spend tens of thousands of dollars. We're still only going to give everybody a bite. We can't feed these people. There's no way. Next verse. Another of his disciples, the good one, Andrew, Simon Peter, said, hey, here we got a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? So there's a little more faith. Philip said, here's what we don't have. We don't have enough. Andrew said, well, here's what we do have. I don't know what good that does us. We got this kid with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Some of you heard this story. There is no hint in the text that the disciples beat up these little kids and took their food, right? This kid is kind of the star because he, from what I understand, he willingly says, you can have, I mean, to a little kid, 5 loaves and 2 fish is a lot. He's like, I don't know what you can do with it, but, you know, let's see. And that's where some of you are at. I'm so excited about our church because I know the conversations, the prayers that are happening behind closed doors between spouses and kids and single college students are just saying, God, I don't know what you can do with this. So then Jesus said, have the people sit down because I'm about to do something awesome. Anytime says Jesus, sit down. Pay attention. There's plenty of grass in this place. They sat down, about 5,000 men. So you count all the people, there was well over 10,000. Jesus took the loaves. He thanked God for them. This is where we get, why do we pray for 4 meals? It just comes from this. Even Jesus, before he did this amazing deal, said, thank you, God, for this. Distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. So I love those videos. I don't know if you've seen them. They do them in NFL locker rooms a lot of, like the illusionists come in. They're like, hey, there's a card in your back pocket, and it's an ace of hearts. And then the guy pulls out. He's like, how does he do this? There's some crazy stuff going on. It's a whole other message of how they're pulling that off. But as so Jesus has 5 loaves and 2 fish with thousands of people, and he just starts passing it out. And it just keeps going. It just keeps going. It keeps going. And everybody eats. He's not a magician. He's the Son of God. If God created fish, bread, and humans, that wasn't a hard one. Jesus didn't have to like, it was like, oh, watch this. Everybody sit down. And he fed everybody. Next verse. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. We don't leave leftovers on the table, right? We get a to-go box. God invented the to-go box right here. So they gathered them. They filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 loaves left over by those who had eaten. So 12 baskets full of leftovers. 5 loaves, 2 fish. The math doesn't math. There's not enough there. But it happened because God doesn't struggle to make more, right? Here's 2 things I want to say about this, and one of them is going to hurt. It's going to hurt a little bit. You okay? Everybody okay? Let God push on you a little bit if he wants to. Here's the first one. Put it on the screen for me so I say it right. Be aware of our desire to mask our God doubt as self-doubt. What does that mean? That means we are so prone to say, yeah, I can't do much. I don't have much. I can't do enough. And we try to make it like I'm doubting myself. It's actually doubting God. Right? We're not doubting ourselves. Your ability, forget money for a second. Think about your life. God's ability to use your life. Oh, I don't have much to offer the kingdom of God. I'm not significant. Oh, like, come on. That is doubting your creator, right? You have something to offer because you're his. So let's not say we doubt ourselves. Let's just say the truth. We doubt God. I don't know if God can do anything with me in this campaign. I don't know if God can do anything with my life. I don't come from much. I'm not special. That's all those lies. Just stop, right? Dude, that the disciples did not beat up. Just a kid just showed up for the party with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he became what he had in his hands. Here's the key. What you see in your hands looks very different when you put it in God's hands. Right? This campaign can be hard because last week I was talking about, I locked eyes with this college young lady, and I said, and some of you may be thinking, as far as a fundraising campaign to give to Relentless Church, you could not have picked a worse season of life. And I locked eyes with this college young lady, and she was like, yeah, I got nothing for you, right? What is in your hands looks completely different, whatever that is or isn't. Here's what we don't do at Relentless Church. We're not ranking ourselves based on how much we can contribute to this campaign. That's not what it's about. Let's look how Jesus ranks, because he's a ranker. Luke 21. We'll go to this somewhat famous story of a widow. All right. As Jesus looked up, he saw the filthy rich. You know how those rich people, you know how they walk. You seen how rich people walk? You know how they smell, right? They wear multiple colognes or perfumes. Why? So you know they're rich. They got so much money, they spend extra money to smell worse than they would if they wore nothing. Those people. You know what I'm talking about. He saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury, right? They're just putting it all in there. He saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Super small. How small? That small. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. All right? I don't feel this way much, but I feel like Jesus isn't telling the truth. Because she didn't. You see the scene? Rich people putting in a bunch of stuff. She puts in two tiny coins, and then he says she put in more than everybody else, but she did not. That's not true unless we just take the laws of mathematics and throw them aside because it's Jesus, right? And I won't get into it because it's a waste of your time and mine. There's pastors that have argued about this section of scripture for centuries, you know, and what was going on, because right before this, he talked about the religious people devouring widows, taking advantage of widows and all this. He just says what he says. He doesn't say that he loves that she has nothing. He's not applauding that she has nothing, right? He also does not minimize the rich people's gifts. He doesn't say all that stuff about perfume. He doesn't. There's this narrative that being poor is a spiritual gift and God loves it when you're poor. He doesn't, right? And there's an us versus them. There's a narrative that if you've been blessed financially, then you must be evil, right? You come with more temptations, but that doesn't make you evil. So Jesus doesn't say any of that. What does he say? He clearly says, if you take what she gave and compare it to what the rich people gave, she gave more. How? How is less more? I'll tell you how. If you've been to other countries where you have to turn in your American money and get their exchanged money, so you might drop your 20s down of American money and then you get back a different amount. It's a different amount, but it's the value is the same, right? So there's an exchange rate with God. Right? So when you give him what you have in your hands, fish, loaves, money, whatever, he exchanges that, and in his economy, we value numbers. That doesn't make any sense from God. I can't imagine what it is to actually own and have access to everything. So what is a number to God? That's why we don't have a number for this Immeasurably More campaign. What number would be success? What number would impress God? When you own and have access to everything and created everything, and you know all of it's going to disappear, and all of life is about kingdom and invisible stuff, numbers just aren't that big of a deal. All right, so the economy of God says this: the amount of trust outweighs the amount of money. So I love that in this case. As your pastor, I love that. As your pastor, I'm looking you in the eye. I'm not going to know your amount of money. We have a very small team of people. I think three that are going to help compile. I'm not going to know what your individual card is on it. I'm not going to know your money. And I'm definitely not going to know your amount of trust. We got to take our humanity out of this, because in our humanity, we're just wowed by numbers. You gave how much? You did like, God's not looking at the amount of money, because Jesus said she gave more because the amount of trust is what he's looking at. So we're asking you to commit to this campaign if you're in on Relentless Church, an amount of money that displays trust. What is that amount? I have no idea. That's up to you, and that's up to God. I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about next. So I'll just let you think about your number. I don't want to get into tithing. We get so confused about tithing. And that's a list thing. We talk about lifestyle over list. Tithing is an easy thing of, hey, this is what you got to do. And it becomes almost a duty. And it's supposed to be fun. I want you to be part of a church. Maybe it's Relentless. I hope it is. Maybe it's not. But I want you to be part of a church sometime somewhere where you're so excited to hit submit on the website or write a check and put it in the offering box. Just like you love doing it. It's not like, you know, like what are they, you know, it's not all of that. That changed for me when I was able to give to a church. I was so excited about how they were using that money to help people know Jesus and affect the community. And that's who we want to be. I think we tend to compartmentalize. You know, we put money in this thing over here. And it's like, well, I got a relationship with Jesus. That's what we're about. We're about Jesus, right? Well, why are we talking about money? Well, because Jesus did, and he connects your relationship with him and how you view and how you use the money that he's given you. Those things are not, it's not money as this other conversation. It's all the same conversation. In fact, Jesus hinted that the quickest way to check your heart is to look at your finances. That where your heart is, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Or where your heart is, you know what I'm saying, right? It's connected, direct line. You know, the tithe comes from the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament. We're not under the law, but Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. So one of the best sections of Scripture, it was a country moment. We're having a country moment as a country and a culture this week, even with the election. Well, they were having that moment in Malachi, and God called a family meeting, and he was not happy. He's like, y'all have left me, right? You know that a country is made up of individuals, but collectively a country can choose to leave God. And he brought the Israelites together and said, y'all have left me. We'll pick up in verse 6. He said, I don't change. I, the Lord, don't change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. That's a beautiful promise. And they said, but you ask, how are we to return? How do we come back to you, God? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. And God just accused them of robbing him. And he's like, they're like, how? But you ask, how? How are we robbing you, God? How could humans rob God? Here's his answer. It's profound. He said, in tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, your whole nation. What? Because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You know what all that is? That whole paragraph? We just call that one word, favor. It's the favor of God. Some of you know what it's like to have the favor of God on your life, on your family, and even on your finances. He said, test me. He doesn't say this about other areas of our lives. In your finances, if you think God is distant and deist, like I'm not sure if he really sees me and knows what's on, you want to see God show up in your life, the best way to see quick turnaround results is trusting him financially. He said, test me in this, and I will open the floodgates. All that stuff he said about the crops, like that was money back then, was crops. He said, I'm gonna make sure your crops don't get eaten up by the pest. I can do things to show up. I can offer raises that you didn't see coming. I can give bonuses that have never been given before, all the stories that we're hearing week to week in Relentless Church. And the spark for that was trusting him with a tithe, which a tithe means tenth, right? So people don't understand that. It's a math word. It's a lot of math today, sorry. But people say, yeah, I tithe $5 this week. No, you didn't. You can't tithe $5. Unless you made 50 bucks this week, right? A tithe is 10% of whatever came in. So you can't tithe $5 a week. Tithe is not just a substitute word for give. You gave $5. That was an offering. It says tithes and offerings. In the Old Testament, they gave a tenth to the temple to keep the temple going. They gave a tenth to the priests, modern day pastors, you might say. All right, and then they had all these other feasts they had to fund. They catted up. Somebody, depends on who you ask. Somewhere between 23 and 30%. As money came in, it went right back out. So a tithe just means a tenth. Now, are we under that law? Do I believe that if you're giving 9% of your income to Relentless Church that you're sinning because you're 1% short? No, right? We're not under the law. It is so much better than that. In fact, there's only one time that we see anything about a tithe in New Testament, and that's Jesus saying this to the religious leaders in Matthew. I call it the Jordan verse, Michael Jordan. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Mint, dill, and cumin, you're so excited to give your spices. Look at us. It was all for a show. We give a tenth of everything, even the spices, even in the spice rack. And Jesus says, great, you should do that. But that's not as important as faith, mercy, and justice. So he had a chance to abolish it, and he didn't. And I would just say this, as far as your numbers, I would believe in the spirit of Jesus that lives in you to guide you on how you give to Relentless Church or any other church. But I would just say, based on experience, as a pastor and my own finances in my life, I think you're crazy if you don't give to kingdom work. I just think God loves to step into that like nothing else. I think when we were having our hardest financial time, almost 20 years ago now, where we were just in a bad way financially, the first thing every time I got paid, if I got paid, it was so easy because I knew if I want to sink my finances quickly, don't give God his off the bat. And that sounds transactional, right? Aren't we transformation, not transaction? When you say it like that, it sounds like I got to do this so I get. No, it's transformational if it's built on trust and it's an actual act of worship. If it's to get back, that's transactional, right? So please, if God's not going to, you know, blow you away based on how big your number on your card is, it's about trust. It's not about the number. So, and it's also the purpose of it. I did not understand this as a younger man. I honestly thought if God blessed me and grew my account, you know what I thought the reason for that was? So I could have more money. Like, God's choosing to bless me. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I'll give you yours cut off the top because that's what I'm supposed to do. Right? I think we've made tithing a ceiling when scripturally it'd be a floor. It's tithes and offerings. There's so much more available. And what he's not giving you money for is to have a bigger account. We know it's not for gain. It's for stewardship. That you would steward it out, right? If I own everything, which I don't, but if I'm God and I own everything, who am I going to choose to give more to in this room? Those that I'm sure are going to do the things that are important to me. Help the poor, help people meet Jesus, right? Mercy and justice, the heart of God, kingdom, things that'll matter after this life is over. Who do I know I can count on? Those that are taking whatever little or lot they have and they're already stewarding it for the purposes of God. It's who is faithful with a little will be faithful with much. It's that whole principle. So God is particular with who he blesses, right? Now, what about all these people we can find in culture, Christian culture and outside, that have millions of dollars and seem to be living crazy? What about them? Don't know. Don't have a lot of answers. Just because somebody is blessed doesn't mean the blessing came from God, right? Remember when Satan tempted Jesus? Did he not take him up and said, all these kingdoms? There's some nasty control that the enemy has over some things. That there seems to be a way the enemy can also bless financially. The key is what you do with it, right? So you're not in charge of the celebrities we see on TV. You're not in charge of the pastors that are asking for your churches to buy them a jet. Who are you in charge of? You're in charge of you and your finances, right? We're in charge of us at Relentless Church. So we are about transformation, and like Raph said on the video, he said it's changing him. I'm so excited about this campaign because some of you are going to have stories of God showing up in your life that you've never had, right? Because we're so tight-fisted, and sometimes we call that smart, right? I've talked to people in our church from the generation of depression or their parents were in the depression, and it scarred them. Scarred, not scared, but kind of both, right? That they're just so tight-fisted because it's in their DNA that you just hold tight because you don't know what's going to happen, right? And I get that. There's wisdom in that. But I don't care who you are, what you got, or what you're coming in here with. God's wanting to do the same thing with all of us. He's wanting to pry our hands over the things that we count on and depend on more than him. We'll talk about that. Security. Because sometimes it sounds better to say I'm into security than greed, right? Sounds better, but they're kind of not different. We'll talk about that next week. But for today, I want to talk about 2 Corinthians 5:14. This is what we build our church on. Christ's love compels us. We're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died. Why? That those who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Christ held nothing back from us. Right? Some of you have been around the block. You know the difference between somebody trying to get in your pocket and being compelled by the love of Christ. This is the last time I get to preach before Commitment Sunday. I'll preach next week, but we're hoping a lot of you have already talked to God and have your commitment figured out coming into this room next week. So my final closing argument is let Christ's love compel you. That he held nothing back. That he chose to give his body, his spirit, Right? He chose to give up his perfect seat in heaven. He chose to become our sin. We can't understand what it's like to be holy, righteous, and sinless. He gave all that away so you'd be sitting here in November 2024 and have a chance at real life, which is built on a relationship with him. Without Jesus sacrificing the cross, you have no hope. You have no relationship. He did all that to bring you in. Because why? Because he loves you. Let that love compel you to do whatever you do or don't do in life, in finances, and in everything. Wouldn't it be great if instead of me like making some slick presentation and trying to guilt you into dig deep and give all your money so people don't go to hell, wouldn't it be great if you were so excited about church next week you couldn't wait to put your card, because like I know that this is an investment in something that'll matter long after I'm gone. Wouldn't it be great if instead of this pressure and of like, oh, what do I have to do? And wouldn't it be great if it was just so freeing and such an act of worship, which is what we're going to make it next week during the service, just to say, God, I trust you with this. For some of us, I had a plan for this, but I feel like you're calling me to give this. For some of us, it's going to be, I don't know where this number's coming from today. I'm trusting that the number is from you, that you've given that to me. And if you need more details, we've been doing these home fellowships, which have been so encouraging, just to ask questions and learn. Well, we have one more. It's this Friday night. It's going to be a party, and you're invited if you want to get in on a home fellowship. You got to sign up, though, because we got to know you're coming so we have enough filet mignon and lobster for you. That part wasn't true. That was not true. But that's this Friday night, and then we're going to come in ready to just be excited about doing what God's called us to do. Practically, the amount that we end up as a total church will factor in, like I said, in what we're loaning. So many of you are new at Relentless Church. If you think you're the only new person, you're the majority. In this room, 11 o'clock service, more of you are newer in the last year than aren't. You outnumber the people that have been with us for years. So if you're new, we want you to be a part of this as you will. But we thought it would be smart to have some people go ahead of you in this commitment. Because if I'm you and I'm new, I'm thinking, is this just one dude saying, like, we're doing, like, is it just David Jones? Like, I need to know a little more. So we asked leaders to do what leaders do, to make a commitment ahead of time. So we asked, I'm announced that number. We're not into numbers. We don't have a number goal, but don't put it up there yet. But they told me after first service, because I just said the number, but I'm not used to saying numbers this big, so I messed it up. So we're gonna show it to you in a second. But so this is, everybody didn't get theirs in, because I guess some people are really praying and asking God. But we have most of our elders and staff, our campaign team, and a few generosity leaders in our church. So the number I'm about to give you is 20 giving units that have pre-committed to go ahead, and these are not wealthy people. All right, so I wanted to announce their number to you, if I can say this number, $969,280. That is our leadership commitment. I hope that number encourages you. I hope it doesn't intimidate you. You know, these are people, these are not celebrities. These are our elders, our staff, our campaign team. These are people that are in the room you can talk to. Just God doing God things have said, hey, we're behind this. We're not just in this verbally. We're not going to ask our people. What we don't ever want to be is the church that says, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. I'll stand back and watch you guys sacrifice while we'll enjoy your sacrifice. No, leaders go first in their sacrifice, and that number represents a lot of miracles and sacrifice and expectation. If we had to call in, like, we need that 969 tomorrow, it's not there. Right? It's people expecting and believing God's going to do what he has not yet done. But that's the beauty of that number. So next week is your opportunity to join us if you choose. And if you don't choose, we just listen to God and do what he says. People have asked me, if I give to this, will I be richer in 3 years at the end of this campaign than I am today? I don't know. I have no idea. Here's what I'm believing. I'm believing that some of us will have less money 3 years from now than we have today because we gave it all away, and we have more deeper joy than we've ever had. There is something powerful about taking this toxic poison addiction to money that our culture has and feeds us and willingly giving it away to something that'll matter in forever. There's something cleansing about that. There's a joy that you're going to find. Some of you are going to have your own Raph and Betsy story of, I don't know how God was going to do this, and you're not going to believe. Don't come up to me and saying you're not going to believe, because I am going to believe. He's a real God. He's active. He's with us. He's in us.
Next week is a celebration of that. 2 weeks from today, we get to all find out together what our number is, and we don't have a goal in that number. We just got a goal to follow Jesus and do what he says. So I want you to invite you into that. I'm going to pray for us. After I pray, it's a little weird. We're going to end the service with a video that's short, and it's a video of me, which is odd. But we want to, we just want to make important some things that are important and just open the altar up. And this is the video we send out on email each week. So if you're on our email list, we want you to watch the video so you know what's going on. There's a lot of stuff going on. In addition to this campaign, we want you to be a part of it. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. God, thank you that you don't call us to accumulate. What a bad life if we just all accumulated, but that you would cycle money through us, that you would trust us as you give, that we would steward your money to others that need it, to change our community, to change people's eternities. God, we just thank you for that group of leaders that made such a bold faith move. I pray it would be contagious. God, I pray you'd meet everybody in this room exactly where they are. I pray that for those in the room that aren't sure where they stand with you, God, I pray they would know that you want their life way more than you need their money. God, that you just want to meet them in relationship. And as for those of us who know you, as we grow in relationship, God, we're gonna grow in trust. And trust includes everything, including our money. Just pray for our church and our country in the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed after this video.